return home as returned to God. But this word can be used to take us all the way to God. It is a definite science, as taught by the great masters of all religions. It is concentrating on a word which is the very foundation of our being, which is the sum total of the spirit within it. Jesus spoke about the word, and it said of him that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word took on a garment of flesh and dwelt among us. And it is this word which is within us, which we must identify with. And it is this word which, if we will concentrate upon it, will take us all the way to the realization of our oneness with God. Now, the human ear is attuned to just so many pounds of vibratory rate. It is said that it cannot hear below 60 nor above 60,000 rates of vibration. There are many things that are going on in the world outside of this room, but we are fully concentrated upon God who dwells within us, and therefore we hear them but dimly or not at all if we are truly concentrated. Man can concentrate deeply if he will but set his mind and his will to it upon anything, upon any subject, upon any article, upon any individual. But when it comes to meditation, which is a form of contemplation or reflection, he has a greater difficulty in doing that. It seems that every time he sits in a chair quietly and tries to go within the silence of his own soul, that everything in the outer sense takes hold of him and tries to distract him. He hears every little drop of a pin. He hears the telephone ring. He hears someone whisper. He hears a chair creak. He hears even the heartbeat of his own body. And his mind, which has been going all over in every direction, without control, isn't able to focus itself on one point. And yet, this word, this sound of Om, which we have come to call Amen or Amen, is the most tremendous tool for taking us back to God. Now, Swami Ramdas used the word or the name of God, but the word Om is the name of God. Ram Dass called him Ram, and so he composed this chant, Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, which means victory to God, in the name of God. We sing it in a foreign language, and yet because the spirit is in this mantra, this chant, it has a powerful spiritual vibration. It has the power to elevate our consciousness and take us into higher realms. It is called the path of the saints. But you see, the word itself is the saint. It is that purity of spirit which was before all duality, and which permeates and fills and uplifts and keeps moving and living and breathing and having its being. All forms of life in the universe. Therefore, it is the most powerful word that man can chant, that man can concentrate upon. The word saint is not used in the ordinary sense, as we have thought of it in the terminology of the Catholic saints, of the holy saints of India, and of other lands. those who have had to be tested, even after death. It has been said that even though the saint was canonized, having been examined in every detail, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and found pure in thought, word, and deed, still, if at any time in the future, it should be necessary to disinter that one, if there is any sign that consciousness has returned to the body, that life has again permeated the body of the individual whom they thought was dead, that one is no longer considered a saint from the standpoint that they must have suffered in the casket or the place of interment, and the thoughts of distress or of reaching out to be saved in the human sense would take away the idea of sainthood. This seems very rigid and completely ridiculous to us, but there is a definite reason for that, because sainthood, or one who becomes a saint, has transcended all of the various levels of consciousness. They have at least gotten to the fifth dimension. Now, the mind is a powerful, powerful instrument. And if harnessed, if mastered, and used rightly, the power that it wields is unbelievable, indescribable, and man uses only an infinitesimal part of this mind. The mind is automatic in what it carries out. It has no will of its own. It is a creature of habit, and it will automatically reject anything which it has disliked through experiences of the past. But it will also embrace anything which it has liked, and it will continue to be distracted by those things. Therefore, if one is tempted by something that one has enjoyed in the past but has made every effort to overcome, still when the thought of that temptation comes before the mind automatically goes to work, and the first thing the individual knows, they have succumbed to that same temptation. The soul is not the master of the mind in this case. The mind is the master, and the individual is the slave. Now, the soul in its pure state is pure, it is holy, but it has had incrustations from ages form upon it, and it is necessary to get rid of all of this debris, this hard lump of coal, which has embedded itself around the soul, so that the diamond of the soul can no longer be seen, so that it cannot be taken out into the light of day, into the light of God, and shine in all of its brilliance. The path of the Word, or the path of the saints, is one that transcends all religions. This is a strange thing to say, but you see, religions are conceived by man. God has no religion. He has no technique. He has no hang-ups. He exists beyond all religions. He is the one Father God who looks down upon all of his creation with total love, with total light, with total wisdom, and the power to manifest in all of those who will open their minds and their hearts to him. It is a strange thing, but every time someone starts a new religion, he creates a new separation in God. And the mind becomes engrossed with the religion, with the path, instead of the source of all religions and the maker of all paths. This word there of Om, or Shabda, as some of the masters call the path, is the greatest path, the greatest way for concentrating the mind, the greatest technique and the greatest method. If you will but discipline yourself and concentrate upon it fully. The most wonderful thing about this word, it is not a thing of imagination. There are some who teach words which they say have no meaning in order to concentrate the mind so that the mind will not focus on the meaning of anything, particularly upon the word. It is just a means of focusing or concentrating the consciousness on one object. But to focus the mind fully upon this life current is an even greater method of meditation from the standpoint that because we know that this word Om is the word of God, that it will take us all the way in the journey back to God without any harm coming to us. It will take us through all planes of consciousness, all levels of understanding, all of the worlds. Then that word Om is associated with God. Now, the methods of science are fine, but they are still related to the human consciousness of scientific methods for doing certain things, for accomplishing certain goals in the worldly sense. But this word Om is a sacred word. It is God Himself expressing the tone, the music, the melody of His own being. And as you use this word, it will take you beyond the realm of the human. It will take you beyond the consciousness of duality. This is not to say that your mind disappears, that somebody takes it away from you, but rather that the mind goes upward and upward, more greatly in a spiral fashion. And as you focus upon that, it penetrates all of these higher worlds of consciousness so that you lose the consciousness of identifying yourself, your whole being, with the body, your life. And you realize, if you will persist in this, that you are not the body, but rather that the body is the house in which you live, and that you and your Father are one. You will see that what Jesus said is true, that it is the temple of the living God. You will know beyond all doubt that you are He, because you have come in contact with that supreme power, that supreme force, that supreme intelligence, and that supreme life, which is the source of all of life as we know it and beyond. Many are content to stop at the third step. They have gone through the so-called crucifixion, as the Christian terminology is, of releasing the body from, or the mind from, the three bodily jars: the physical or the gross body, the astral or the electrical body, and the idea or the causal body. When you have been through these three states, then it is necessary that you arise from these three states and that you go into the conscious world again and level off, because the gross ego has been crucified. It has died. It has given up the ghost. And now, having delved into your subconscious mind, or having descended into hell, as the Christian terminology describes a subconscious mind, which has brought you into contact with many of your previous actions, both good and bad, you have descended deeply into that which you sometimes have to face, and you've been taken up into the heights of the superconscious self. You've been given tremendous revelations. You've had experiences which you have never had before. But now you have to come back to the human world, to the world of duality, and level yourself out. This is a vital necessity, because having been through all of this tremendous experience, there is still purgatory to go through, or the state of purging and purifying. Because don't forget that all of this, which has taken centuries to build up within yourself, within your consciousness, does not disappear in a day. And it takes time to go through these various states, which must be experienced by every true devotee on the path, before you can attain the living and become the living reality within yourself. So you are put out in the world, and again the tests come, the purification comes. And you are like John in the Isle of Patmos. You are in a state of bewilderment when you come out of these initial experiences, because you are neither what you were nor what you hope to become. You have been led and guided and directed by John the Baptist, the spirit of intuition within yourself up to this point. But now all of a sudden it seems to have forsaken you. You have tried to keep your attention fully fixed upon God, to go through the various worlds which are necessary for you to go through and transcend, to pay the price. The body has been made to move in dance and rolling on the floor. The voice has been made to sing in harmony. And all of this is for the purpose of loosening and releasing the atomic structure of the being, so that the consciousness can be released from that, from those three bodily jars. And so you are a bewildered child. You know that God exists. But like the Christ, you say, "Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because you can't find him anymore. You don't find this minute direction. Why? Because this Savior, which was guided, this Son of Man, which was guided by John the Baptist, the intuitive force which comes and goes, because it is, remember, the still small voice, has now been entombed in the sepulchre of the heart. It is no longer there to guide you. And so you cry. You cry out to God and say, "What has happened to me? What do I do next? What is your will for me?" And at that moment, God may say to you, as he did to me, "Thy will is my will." And I was on my own, trying to get my way, find my way in the darkness. The only thing that you can do is to hang on, because certainly at that point you can't give up. You couldn't possibly, because you're too bewildered. You don't know where to go, whether to go backwards or forwards or up or down. And actually, in a spot like that, there is no place but up. So you take your courage in your hand, and you somehow generate faith, which extends beyond even belief, because you don't know what to believe at this point. But still you have faith that somehow you will be led, you will be guided, you will be directed. Certainly you can't stay in a vacuum forever. You've got to get out of it. So you reach out toward the light. So gradually, you have the realization, the meaning of the experiences which you have been through revealed to you. And you see that all of the things that you have been taught in the scripture as historical facts actually relate to the things which happen to every man in his ascent from the human to the divine. You know that you have a robe which the Roman soldiers dice over. You know this, because the robe is your body. And within it are contained all of the tendencies of the human, the temptations still there. And the one which was most predominant, the one sense enjoyment which you enjoyed the most, is the one who gets the robe while the Christ is the Savior is interred in this sepulcher. But all of a sudden, a little light comes. You're able to get a little more balance. And you, again, as you go along the path, have more and more things revealed to you. Things which you would never have guessed from what had been taught you were the real meaning of the scriptures. You know, the scriptures contain the words which describe the meaning of the way. They cannot describe the way itself, because man must go that way in order to experience it and realize the truth which he is striving for. That is why everyone has to have a living guru, because the scriptures are inanimate. They may inspire man to seek that which is within himself. But until he finds a true guru, one who has gone all the way, who has sacrificed himself on his own cross, which is his body, and has reached that high state of enlightenment, he cannot possibly enter the gates of heaven by himself. He has to be taught what this way means. He has to be taught the inner meaning of the scriptures. He has to be taught the necessary techniques which will take him into the heaven of his own being. In particular, he has to be guided. He has to be directed. He has to be watched over in order that he does not get himself into difficulty. Man is many times prone to want to deal and dabble in the psychic and in the occult, to get involved with healing and with powers before he has even hardly put his foot upon the first rung of the ladder. And this should not be, because this is still his human ego sense working. He has not yet reached the ultimate. He has not come to that point of total self-surrender, where he is totally absent, and only God and his power are operating in that form which God himself made. He doesn't know just exactly what he's doing, or whether it is God's will that that one be healed. The occult has been known to be a very dangerous path, as has the psychic field. And certainly, no one should ever get involved with spiritualism, with contacting those who have gone beyond this earthly plane and died in the ordinary sense. To contact God and to have communion with some of the great ones who have attained realization is one thing. But to try to contact those who have died an ordinary death and who themselves, many of them, have not yet put their feet upon the spiritual path is a very dangerous thing to do and can lead to spiritual possession, because there are many people who fight death with everything they have. They didn't want to die. They still want to live. And many of them are earthbound because their desire to operate on the human plane is so great. And they're looking for someone who is a willing subject. They're looking for someone who fails to use a specific and definite method of concentration, or who makes their mind absolutely blank. This is an absolutely wrong thing to do. You should always have your mind focused upon an object or a technique of some sort. Never leave the mind blank, because these entities can enter into your mind. They can take over your body and have been known to do disastrous things. I myself have seen these people and have worked with some of them, so I know firsthand that this is the truth. Your sole objective is to keep your full attention upon God alone. And this word is God, it says in the scriptures. So therefore, the true guru watches each disciple very closely, even though they may not seem to do so, because God within them tells them in one way or another whenever someone is in trouble and that they need help, and so that one will go and straighten them out. You cannot do it by yourself. You cannot be your own guru. You must have a living guru to whom you can either go in person or to whom you can write and make them conscious of the fact that you are in trouble and you need help. Now, many people shy away from going beyond body consciousness. They don't know what they're going to meet. It's a fear of the unknown. But it is a necessary step if you're going to reach the ultimate in God realization. It is the way of the mystics. A way of the mystics. And mysticism has a tremendous place, because again, it transcends all religion. It is pure, raw spirit. And you look at a mystic and you see that he has gone beyond all religions. The true teacher is no longer interested in religion as such at all, because they have transcended it. They see God everywhere equally present, in every religion, in every form of creation on the earth. And so they're interested only in the way. It is the religion of every man. It is the path of the saints. And there is no greater way to attain this realization, to be able to transcend body consciousness and go first into the astral world, then into the idea or the causal world, and beyond that. You've got to do it sometime. You're forced to do it when you have an ordinary physical death, but you have no control of it. But if, like St. John or St. Paul said, I die daily. If you can do this while you are still consciously living in the body, you have conquered the last enemy, which is death. And you need have no fear of it. In fact, you can go and come at will. I die daily. That means that daily I leave all consciousness of this body, the three she's, the three bodily jars, and I am roaming in the kingdom of my Heavenly Father. It is a tremendous experience. But in order to do that, if you will concentrate on this sound of Om, you see, it will take you into this astral plane in complete safety. And you will go through the various planes of consciousness in the astral, even as you have overcome them, gone through them, and overcome them in the physical sense. And as you reach these higher planes, you will at first hear the beating of the heart. And then sometimes you will hear the various sounds of the astral body, which are connected to the spine. You will hear the sound of the bumblebee, the flute, the harp, the bell. And these sounds occur at each one of the first four lower centers. And then you will hear the great cosmic sound of Om. It is like the rushing of many waters. And you should be absorbed in that sound. You will hear beautiful melodies, mystical melodies, melodies which transcend anything that you've ever heard with your human ear. Anything that you hear man sing or play on any instrument. It is the music of the spheres. But then all of a sudden, you go even beyond that. You go beyond that. And you are released totally from this world of birth and rebirth. Totally. You have gone beyond. You have transcended all duality. You have come face to face with the light of your own soul. And therefore, you are one with the light which permeates the whole universe and beyond. You've gone beyond even the ability to express what you are experiencing. But you know that in truth you have met God. And then you even go beyond the knowing to experiencing without thought of experience, because you're so absorbed in the state of eternal bliss. It is the most tremendous thing which man can accomplish. But it must be accomplished at some time or other by everyone. It is said that those who are truly on the spiritual path are heroes, and must be, and also heroes. And it is the truth, because you must overcome all fear within yourself. But if God, the supreme being of the universe, your heavenly Father, who dwells right inside of you, is taking you by the hand and leading you through all of these experiences, what do you have to fear? If God be with you, then nothing can harm you. Who can do anything to you? Your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul is absorbed in Him. And you are conscious only of the yearning, the longing, the love and devotion in your heart, and the need for your union with the eternal bridegroom. He waits at the altar of time eternally for you, the individual soul, to rise up and do the things necessary to purify yourself physically, mentally, and spiritually, in order that you may realize your oneness with Him, in order that the marriage may be consummated. This is the true marriage of every soul. It is the greatest holy sacrament that man can conceive of. Does this do away with the need or the possibility for all other unions? It doesn't mean that you can't have a human union. It means that you have transcended all of that. And it means that even though you are married, you can take your beloved with you, and together you can go into this greater union with the supreme bridegroom of all time. It is a most fantastic experience. The true guru has transcended all of these worlds, is able to come and go from the body at will. But they don't do it as long as they have returned to help suffering humanity. They stay, and with much effort and much difficulty, and certainly at great expense to themselves, because their desire to remain in this tremendous state of bliss and not be involved with the material world, they come back as teachers to help each one to realize the wonder and the beauty and the joy of that eternal moment of union, where they find out who and what they are. When they realize that they always were, they are, and they always will be God Himself in human form. That all of this life is God, and God is all of life. That there is no evil in God. That there is only goodness and love, and sweetness, and mercy, and compassion. So many doubt God. So many berate God for the suffering that they see in this earth. But man has brought himself to every point of an experience where he suffers through his own past actions, through the misuse of his own free will. And he would but learn the lesson of working in harmony with the law, of doing the necessary things, of living the life, of watching his food, of watching his habit patterns, of watching the company he keeps, of building within himself the ability to say no when he is tempted, when the soul steps in and controls the mind, when the infinite spirit is in control, rather than the mind being in control of the body, forcing it to do things that in truth it shrinks from in all of its purity. When he can do that, he has arrived. The food that we take into our body is very important. Make no mistake about it. When you get to a certain stage of consciousness, it doesn't matter what you eat. It really doesn't. It isn't important what you put into your mouth. It is only important what comes out of it. And still the aspirin on the path should watch their diet. You have to have a certain amount of protein. And all things in all kingdoms are under the subjection and direction of man. It also says that in the scriptures. But man must use whatever is under his jurisdiction only for the sustenance of life. Because to do without the food that is necessary to sustain good health in the body means to have that body in the state of disease and perhaps death. And so an opportunity for God realization has been halted for the moment. And again, you must return on the wheel of birth and rebirth to still experience the things which are necessary for you to experience in order that you may reach this complete state of oneness with the Father. So this is necessary. The body should be kept clean inwardly, outwardly. It should be well-groomed, attractively dressed as possible within the means. For it is an honor, not of pride, but of that indwelling presence within. Because what you are inside reflects outwardly. And so if you are beautiful in God inside, everything around you becomes neat and perfect and beautiful. And that beauty and that perfection then is spread. Because others seeing this beauty will reach out for it. and eventually express it in their own lives. And so everything that we do, if we will do it with the idea that we are doing it for God alone, to express His beauty, His power, His wisdom, and His perfection, goes to make a better world. And each one of us is responsible right up to the hilt for doing this. No one can relinquish that responsibility. This way of mysticism is a way of love and of devotion. It is not a thing of science. It is not a technical thing in that sense at all. And yet it is the most scientific thing in the world. You see, man associates science with all of the things of the world. But you say the word mystic, and immediately everyone's idea goes to the religious field, because a mystic is one whose whole heart and mind and soul is centered upon the divine. Everything within them is reaching up for this union. It is reaching up to transcend everything in the human sense. It is reaching up for oneness with the Father, for the perfection and the expression of that perfection in its own life. And it knows that always and forever it will remain unfulfilled and dissatisfied until such time as it can have this perfect marriage with the divine. Having that, then the soul, if it is God's will, returns again to teach a suffering humanity. And they become a light to lead others, to light the way on the path. Their power is so great that it is unspeakable. This is true. If you want to be an instrument of God, then you must first do your work. Everybody says, you know, I want God with all of my heart. But I certainly wish that I had this or that or this one or that one. I wish this circumstance was different in my life, that I would feel more comfortable. And I could worship God in a far greater and more concentrated fashion. Do not delude yourself, because these desires, which originate in the mind and which permeate every part of your being, will never take you to God's realization. The law is exact in what it requires. And it requires you first to put your full attention upon God, to seek Him first, to seek His kingdom. And then after you have done your part, not before, but after, then all of the things that you want in your heart will be added unto you. You will have realized and reached the supreme. And this is really something. Wouldn't it be a tremendous accomplishment to have gone through all of the world, and to be able to come and go as you please and not be forced out, not to fear death, who is the last enemy, but to have control of it, even as you would put your foot on a footstool, to be able to go when you want to come back when you want to gather the atoms of your being together and make them into a human form, or to take the atoms of the universe and fashion a form so that your infinite spirit, which never dies, which never loses its consciousness, can continue to live and to teach and to serve suffering humanity. You see, one value of the guru is the fact that that one gives you discipline. And you must be willing to accept that discipline. You must find obedience within yourself. It is of vital importance, because that which does not wish to obey the spiritual teacher is the human ego, which they are striving so desperately to get rid of. You know, we play games with ourselves all the time. We tell ourselves that we want God realization. But just the least little thing, we are running hither and yon. We never stick with one teacher. We never stick with one path. The pasture on the other side of the fence is always greener. And we become like rolling stones gathering moss and never getting any place. Never. When you find your true teacher, a true guru, you must relinquish all others and cleave only unto that one, even as it says in the marriage ceremony between man and woman. It is a divine romance. It is a marriage between disciple and guru, not for the guru's sake, but for the disciple's sake. I interviewed a new student the other day, and they had a marvelous experience. They went out just walking on air with a great light in their eyes and their face. And so they said, well, I will call you again. But don't hold your breath because I'm so busy all the time. As though they were doing me a service to come. And I said to this individual, but it is your life. Who are you cheating when you are so busy but yourself? And then I said to them, as I have said to you many times, what would you do if you were in dire need of your Father's help and you were to cry out to Him with all of the suffering and the power of your being for His help? And He would look down on you very impersonally and say, my child, I am too busy to come to your help now. Try and get hold of me later. You wouldn't like it very well, and you would certainly lose your faith in God. But that's what we do to Him all of the time. He always gets the residue thereof. He is always the last man on the totem pole. When, were it not for Him, we wouldn't even have a human form. We wouldn't be able to think that we were busy or to have anything to be busy with. We wouldn't be able to move or breathe or live or have our being. He must come first. He must come first. Take Him into every phase and facet of your existence. When you are on the path to God, it doesn't mean that you have to leave the world, but rather that you take God into the world, in order that you may change the world until there comes an end of the world laid hold on you within yourself. This is the true meaning of the end of the world, and it comes to every aspirant on the path when he has made the supreme sacrifice of getting himself out of the way, of surrendering himself totally to God and going beyond the world. Then this is the end of the world. He can still live in the world, but he is not of it. This is what it says in the Christ teachings. He was in this world, but not of it. Now, this sound of Om is different than anything you hear in the outer sense. It is a high-pitched sound, and even though you seem to hear it with the outer ear, in fact, you do not. You hear it with your inner ear. It is the sound of the Spirit, the life within your own body. And if you will listen, focus your full attention upon it, you will be able to hear it. Learn to control your mind and go beyond it with the use of this word Om and listening to this sound. Now in the beginning you can chant the word Om. Chant it outwardly until you get the tune of it, as we do, the sound of it. And as it dies in the recesses of your throat or withdraws there, listen to the last part of that hum. Listen to it. And then say it again. And you will find that it is disappearing into this high-pitched Om within your own consciousness. And if you will continue to listen to that inwardly, you will be so absorbed in it, so absorbed in it, that no sound in the outer sense will be able to reach your consciousness. Think of that sound of Om as the word that you are going, returning to God. You're going back on the stream of the word Om. It is a stream of Spirit, and you are taking your boat up that stream. You yourself are sitting in the boat. and you are going ever closer to your Heavenly Father. This is the greatest prayer there is, this one sound. This is the greatest word you can concentrate on, because it is God Himself whose voice you hear. It is God Himself who absorbs you in this sound, which is the seed and the source of all love, of all creation. And as you focus the full attention upon that, listen for that sound principally in the right ear, because the right ear is more sensitive. We use the right side of the body more, unless we are left-handed. Those who are left-handed then will use listen in the left ear, because your consciousness is geared to the other side of your body. You shouldn't go against that. But become absorbed in that. Always keep your full attention at the point between the eyebrows when you're listening there. And as you listen, automatically the eyes are turned upward. The light of your own soul starts to shine. You see the five-pointed star of infinity, and you open that door. And the Father will come in and sup with you, and you with Him. You transcend all time and space. Meditation properly done is transcendental meditation in any religion you want to talk about. It is not just a special gimmick for commercial purposes. It actually is the transcending of the mind above all things human and taking it beyond into the divine. When you are one with that eternal source, having gone through all of the necessary steps, you will find that you are the newborn Christ, and that the Christ consciousness permeates your being. Then instead of John the Baptist, the still small voice guiding you and directing you spasmodically, that you will have the constant, instant direction from God Himself. It is like the flow of the river into the ocean, and the ocean again meeting the river and flowing into it. One blends into the other. One blends into the other. The river and the ocean are not different. They are both made of water. They both have ripples and waves. But it is that power that makes them move that is the determining factor in it. I urge you, I plead with you, to spend time every morning to make your first engagement with God. No one else. If you do not expect Him to be too busy to listen to your pleas, to answer your needs, to comfort you, to heal you, to take you in His arms of everlasting bliss, then you must not be too busy to commune with Him. And each morning when you get up and you commune with Him, you start your day out right. You cleanse your body first. You take a glass of lukewarm water. You brush your teeth. You wash your face or you bathe. And then you sit in a state of purity. And you worship at the feet of your Father. You give all of yourself to Him. And in turn you ask for His guidance, His direction, His teaching, every moment of your life during that day. You surrender to yourself to Him as His servant and say, "Here am I, Lord. Use me. Do with me as You will." And you will find that your life will take on a new dimension. You will be so busy at times that you won't know what to do. But your life will be so utterly fascinating and interesting because it is at a higher dimension. And you will find not only little miracles, but major miracles occurring more and more and more until you realize that your whole life, that life itself, is a constant miracle if man all men would but work and walk in harmony with God's laws. How we punish ourselves. What stupid fools we are in our ignorance when we think that we can do things, that we think that we can reach out for happiness, and that we can make it work for us. We of ourselves can do nothing. It is the Father who doeth the works. But faith without works is also dead. So you must do your part in every detail, every morning, every night, and in between times. Because you can sit still, and you can close your eyes, and you can go within in the flash of an eyelash. And you can hear the sacred sound of Om, the eternal word of God. I would like each and every one of you to practice this beginning tonight when you go home. And try to meditate before you get too sleepy. Try to give yourself at least a half hour and an hour. And the time will come when your desire to commune with God will be so great that you will want more and more and more, like a starving man. Because you know that you cannot live without communion with Him, without this feeling of upliftment, of light, of bliss, of peace, of fulfillment, which permeates your being when you are in the arms of your Father. Love your enemy. Do good to those who hate you. Send the love of God to God in every form, all over the world. And as you give, so shall you receive. This is the law of God and of nature. Whatever seeds you plant, these are the seeds that will return to you in kind. You will see the tender shoots reach out from the earth and reach toward the light. And it will grow into a strong image of the likeness it was meant to be. It will bring forth green leaves and flowers and abundant fruit. And the harvest will be great. And the seeds will again fall to the ground. And the process of life, which is continual and eternal, will start all over again. And when you have been uplifted by your Father, when you have been lifted up into this higher consciousness and witnessed all of these things for yourself, when you have seen the workings of the divine, you will be so thrilled with the beauty of it that you will wonder how you could ever bear to have kept yourself in a state of darkness and ignorance which you imposed upon yourself for so long. Rise up, ye sons of God. Realize what your heritage is. And reach out for it until you become that which you was meant to be. A God-man walking the earth with power and dominion over all of the kingdoms, not only of this world, but of all the worlds to come. Wake up and come to that moment when you are willing even to conquer death itself, that last enemy, and be able to function, to come, to go in this tremendous state of light, of love, and of life forever and forever. Amen. This is the promise which God has made. He who will overcome will be given a crown of eternal life. And all that I have said to you tonight is that which you must do and that which you must overcome if you are to reach your goal and be